Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Hi everybody, good morning, and it is absolutely fantastic to see you this morning. I hope you're all doing well. As we were just chatting here under house arrest this week for all of us, and I just want to say I made it through a whole week of homeschooling, and I think the kids survived, and the reason why they survived is I had absolutely nothing to do with homeschooling this week. Penny had to take care of all of it, but I think we got through, and I think our kids quite enjoyed it. But this day, coming up this week, they've got a couple of days of daddy day school to do, so I'll let you know next week how they feel about that. I might actually just bring the kids down and go, hey, how did daddy do this week? And so I really do hope you're doing well. Look, these are funny times that we're living in for sure, and I think it's funny, that sort of sense of hope and optimism that we left 2020 with. Remember I was saying last week is you leave behind some things, but you never leave behind the goodness of God. I mean, and the Lord says, build these memorials. And it's not like we have to go around and put big piles of stones into places, but it's having your heart take with you into this season in 2021, that spirit of what the Lord did and how he was faithful, how he was good to you, how he provided for you and protected for you. And when you declare that and you keep that at the front of your heart and in your mind, and what happens is it releases that sort of sense of prophecy again into your world for 2021. Do it again, Lord. You know, in the same way that you protected me and watched over me, do it again, Lord. But this time go from grace to grace and glory to glory. Because I'm actually believing that 2021, the word of the Lord is that your best days are always in front of you. Your best days are still to come. And that's not kind of a cross your fingers and hope for it sort of mentality. That is the word of the Lord. That is the promise of the Lord. And so if you're sitting here this morning, listening to me and wondering, when you look around this world, how you make sense of it, let your declaration be, my best days are yet to come. And it's the Lord, what I love about the Lord is he's not limited by circumstance. You know, this week, he's not surprised by anything that goes on. He hasn't been caught on the hop in any way. The Lord is always in front, all right? The Lord is not just in front, he's above and behind and on every side. And he's not caught out by what goes on in this world because he's the God above it all. So you can have like encouragement today. You can have hope today. You can, this morning, if you're listening with me, just say, amen, Lord, I believe that this week is going to be better than last week, and the week after that I believe that I'm going to see grace upon grace in my life, your unmerited, undeserved favor to me. Why? Because you love me. And so I want to encourage you this kind of first few weeks of January. I'm not getting stuck into like a series like we normally do here, but I just really felt actually last week that the talk I did last week and this week and next week, there's kind of a theme that I felt the Lord was speaking to me about. And I hope that it really encourages you, because today I want to talk about something which is asking you the question, what do you see? What is it that you see? And when I planned these talks out at the start of January, they all kind of run one after the other. And last week I said that we are not the same as the world. We have a different spirit. We have the spirit of grace in us, the spirit of Jesus himself, the Holy Spirit. And so we can look at last year and we can be so grateful and so thankful for the Lord's faithfulness. We can be so thankful for his goodness and how he looked after us, amen? And can I just say, if you're listening here right now and you're on Facebook or YouTube, why don't you just drop a line and say, yes, Lord, you were faithful. Encourage the people who are watching today. Encourage those people who are maybe tuning in for the first time and need some encouragement for the Lord. They need to know that if the Lord was faithful to you, that he can do it for them as well. So don't just sit and soak up today. I hope you will be blessed, but really take the opportunity just to connect with us now and go, absolutely, the Lord was good to me, the Lord provided, the Lord healed, the Lord, you know, and let's just encourage each other with all of these stories about the goodness of God, because we're not the same. Church, you're not the same as people who don't know Jesus. That's the truth. You know, we don't see the world the same way that people who don't know Jesus see the world. And so I guess what I'm trying to encourage you with today is, what do you see? When you look at 2021, what do you see? And I'm not just talking about with your physical eyes. I mean, that's one way of seeing, but the Lord says that what we will see with our physical eyes first begins with what happens on the inside of you. You know, my son Ben, as many of you know him, he is really into drones, okay? Like flying drones and editing and all this kind of stuff. And so I kind of have started to do that with him. But it's like, it's kind of like we're doing two different things, really, because when he looks at the same landscape, right, that I look at. So we arrive into like Tollymore Forest Park and we go, right, it's beautiful, sun, the mountains, it's just this gorgeous scenery. But he looks at that landscape and he sees it very differently to what I do. And what happens is I'm looking at something because I don't have the view that he has, because he's totally different and totally skilled at what he's doing. And he sees it differently. So he will look at the same light hitting the same bit of the forest, and he'll be able to shoot it and fly his drone in a way which captures the beauty and just the magnificence of it all. And because, here's the thing, what I've understood is then, because he sees it differently at the beginning, he also experiences it differently. You know, for me, it's just about, I get the thing up, get it down, hopefully, without crashing into anything. But Ben's actually kind of soaking up the whole thing and feeling it. And his experience, for me, I kind of walk away, to be honest, sometimes where we've flown together and I'm going, well, that was good, I enjoyed it. And Ben's like, oh, did you see this? Did you, Dad, how amazing was that? And see the way the light hit here and the color here. And I just kind of go, yeah, son, that's fantastic. Brilliant. Don't really understand it, to be fair, but I love the fact that what happens is his experience, okay, is absolutely dictated to by what he sees in the first place. He just has a way of looking at it. And so I want to say to you that your perspective is critical this year, and I want to encourage you about that. There's both an encouragement this morning for you and a promise to you this morning from the Lord, because I'm just going to talk about the grace of Jesus today, the unmerited, undeserved favor of Jesus in your life, and how that will frame your perspective for the weeks, the days, and the months to come. You know, I was reading this week in Psalm 121, and this is about view, right? It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? There are so many great promises in this psalm, but it starts with this. I lift up my eyes. Where does my help come from? Now, this psalm is called a Song of Ascents, and it would have been sung by priests and pilgrims as they ascended Mount Zion in Jerusalem, the hill of the Lord in Jerusalem. So hills always talk about a high place. They talk about the place where the Lord is, where he dwells, and where his presence is. And so it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? I put my perspective, I put my view onto the place where the Lord is. I mean, isn't that what Hebrews 12:2 encourages us to do? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Lift our heads up and see Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And from there, when your head is lifted up and your view is on Jesus, where your help comes from, he then in Psalm 121 starts to paint this picture of what happens when your perspective is aligned with Jesus and his finished work. He says, my help comes from where? It comes from the Lord. Folks, let me tell you this morning, if you need help, your help is only going to come from one place. He may use many sources, but the ultimate source is the Lord himself. Your help comes from him. He made the heavens and the earth. This is lifting up Jesus this morning to his rightful place. And the one who made the heavens and the earth, what does he say to you? He will not let your foot be moved. Somebody give me an amen this morning. Say, yes, my foot will not be moved. Why? Because the one who's keeping you right now doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. You know, we're laughing this week in our house because, see, when it gets to the end of the day, it must be an age thing. Now that I'm, approaching my mid-30s, what happens is I find it of an evening I would be a wee bit tired. And it was funny the other night, Penny and I were watching this program together. It's just one thing in the evening that we watch. And I actually, when you're sitting there and you start to nod, and Penny kept nudging me and going, are you sleeping? Are you sleeping? I was going, no. I said, I'm just watching with one eye, is what I said to her, which was a total lie. But I was able to actually, in that moment, I can fall asleep sitting up. I've just learned this week. It was amazing. So I was bolt upright on the sofa, completely out, just with my head down like this. And Penny just, she wasn't very happy. She said, this is our time together. And here you are sleeping through it. But the thing is, it's like in a moment, even when something's really important, I can just head down and away I went. But the Lord doesn't do that. He says, behold, have a look. Behold means to look, put your gaze upon. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. Amen. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. That's speaking about protection. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord, listen to me, will keep you from all evil. He will keep you from every virus. He will keep you from every sickness. He will keep you from every disease. He will keep your life, right? The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth, right now, in this minute, on this 10th of January in the morning, and forevermore. Somebody give me an amen. This morning, what happens when you lift your eyes up and you see where your help comes from? You live a life full of shalom. And I believe that this year is going to be a year of shalom. In fact, that's my talk for next week, so I don't want to get into that right now. So let me say this to you. Long before you see something on the outside of your life, in 2021, whether it's going to be good or bad, let me tell you something. That started with you on the inside. It was already there on the inside of you. And actually, from that place, that's where we speak. So many times we get that the wrong way around. Of course, I believe our words are critical. We need to speak life. We need to speak victory. But our words have to be the expression of what we see on the inside of us. And that is where the power lies. I've spent so much time in my life being told, you know, declare this and speak that. And I believe that that's right because it keeps my heart in the right place. But actually what I believe is it's not about declaring in order that something may happen or speaking so that I can make it happen, but believing on the inside that the Lord has already done it for me and my heart aligning with that truth. And from a place of rest and assurance, my mouth says yes, Lord, and amen to every one of your promises. So it's from your heart that it all flows. All kinds of dysfunction will flow from there and all kinds of blessing will flow from there. And so the question is again, what will you see? I believe the Lord encouraging you again this morning to really think about the imagination that he's given you and the creative ability and the creative power that you have been given on the inside, because it is God-given. And whether you pick up social media today, whether you pick up, you watch the news, or whatever it is, okay, every report, everything that you watch paints a picture, and normally the picture is not that great, all right? I mean, this week it was about Percy Pigs and Marks and Spencers. I mean, it's even at that level. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. Percy Pigs are off the menu, apparently, because we can't get them across the border. All this kind of stuff, and I looked at that, and it's on the news, and part of me wanted just to bang my head off the screen and go, really? Are we at this level where, you know, Percy Pigs are lovely, don't get me wrong. However, my life's not going to finish. And in fact, I know Penny's watching this right now and she'll probably say, you could do without the Percy Pigs, to be quite fair. All right, but and I know that. But the point is, it's just even at the almost what seems that like the micro levels of our lives, all these things are painting pictures. And the pictures are not normally very positive. And so what happens is that distracts us and robs us of the one thing, which is Jesus and me lifting my eyes up to him. So Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And if you look at that in Hebrew, actually it reads, with all that you can, keep your heart. With all that you can, keep your heart. So how does that actually work? Well, let me tell you something. In the law of first mention in the Bible, when something's mentioned for the first time, it's really important. So let's look at this and see something really powerful today. It says here that the Lord saw that, back in Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every intention of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. So what you see here in this law of first mention, it's the first time that God links the heart, the innermost place, with the imagination and thoughts. We think that imagination is just about dreaming. It's just about your mind, but it's not. God says it's way deeper than that in you. It's about your heart, lubab in Hebrew, the innermost place. And what we see in that plays out in the rest of our life. So it says now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? So what we have here is, I'm going to just start to show you that you have been given the ability by the Lord, and it is a God-given ability, all the way back to see a material difference of God's grace in your lived experience this year in 2021. But it's not going to be just because you say it. It's not going to be, it's going to be because as you lift up your eyes, there is a transformation on the inside of you. There's a transformation that goes right on in the middle of you, right from your innermost place. All right? And whenever I hear that, you know, I hear the words at the same time, all right, that Jesus spoke. And I find myself in tension. It's like, Lord, I want to believe. And, you know, sometimes I find myself, I don't know about you, like sitting, driving, just and having these thoughts come to my mind of what it would be really like to see the fullness and the grace of God in my life, to see how that would transform like our church, how that would transform my business, how would that transform family. And, you know, and then almost like it's like those things are robbed from us pretty quickly, but there's the, but that'll never happen and you're not this and that'll not happen because, and it's almost like there's this tension, this kind of pulling and pulling at those dreams. And then we hear these words from like Jesus, Matthew 6:30, you know, like, why have you got little faith? Why have you, and therefore we start, at times I start to feel like, oh, I'm not good enough again. You know, so many times, you know, I've heard messages, all right, about believe for God, believe in the fullness of grace. And then on the inside of me, if I'm really honest, I go, but I've got little faith. And the Bible tells me, oh, for goodness sake, the Lord's cross when he sees little faith. But I've got great news for you today, because that's not what he was talking about at all. He was talking about something completely different. So many times I heard these messages preached about that passage in Matthew 6 that left me feeling ashamed, and somehow I'd let Jesus down, and somehow I would never walk in to everything that the Lord has for me. I mean, how many of you have heard sermons where the preacher was either pointing at you, or you think he was pointing at you, either focusing on how you need to have more faith, how you need to press in, how you need to do it, or perhaps you don't have enough faith and you need to have more faith. It's like this accusation after accusation, and there's an implication that you just don't measure up. But let me tell you something, you do measure up today. That is not from God. You are more than qualified because of what you have done. No, because of what Jesus has done for you. He has overqualified you today. All right. And you may be surprised to hear that God doesn't accuse or simply imply these things. It's the devil who accuses you. So if you've been hearing that kind of condemnatory preaching from whatever pulpit, be assured this morning, it wasn't from God. In fact, I'm going to show you how this expression is about helping you to create that use your creative imagination given to you by the Lord this morning, so that you can start to paint the picture of the Lord's goodness in your life and let that sit on the inside of you, and then align what you say to that truth that he is birthing in you, and then you will walk into it. Amen. That's what I believe. I believe the Lord is putting fresh vision in you this morning, fresh life in you this morning, fresh hope in you this morning. If you will receive it and say, yes, Lord, amen, I lift my eyes up off the ground and all the stuff on it, I lift my eyes up to you. That's where my help comes from. So we're going to see, as you know, number 5 in the Bible is the number of grace. So, and what actually what you're going to see as well is, O ye of little faith, is not a condemnatory statement. All right. If you're feeling like, I don't feel like I've got enough faith, let me tell you something. Okay, Jesus has got more than enough faith, which is your gift today. It's not about your faith. It's about the faith that is given to you as a gift. Because the whole sense of faith in the Bible is a God-given gift, which we then can move into and walk into. So what did Jesus actually mean when he said, you have little faith? All right. Because I want to speak this to you this morning to encourage you and to lift a burden off you today so that you can believe for more. Because the only reason why people don't believe in grace upon grace in their own lives is because at some point the voice of condemnation or shame or past or whatever it is pops up and we go, I can't believe for that because of whatever reason. But the phrase is only spoken by Jesus in the Bible. He's the only one who says it, and he says it 5 separate times, in fact. Now, what is there in that for you and I today? Well, Hebrew is a language of picture writing, like Chinese or something like that. It uses symbols. Each of the 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet is a picture of something, and they are very consistent. And you know, I've always consistently stated from our pulpit, if you like, that the number 5 infers grace in the scripture. I've also consistently linked the letter hey with grace. So I thought it would be really important to show you why that matters to you today. So unlike here in the West, letters of the alphabet in Hebrew are also used for numbers, right? So the fifth letter is He. Now, what's the picture for the number five or the letter He? Well, it's a picture of an open window. It's reminiscent of God opening the windows of heaven. So the Lord is painting a picture for you, and all there for you to use your imagination. The letter He is a window in ancient Hebrew, meaning to reveal something, to show something. The sense is, behold, look. It's about illumination and revelation. Now, what's even interesting today is the rabbis who are under the law, who still adhere to the law of Moses, agree that that's what the letter He is. They agree on that it's a picture to an open heaven, but they don't know what it reveals, because those under the law can't see the fullness of God's grace, can't see Jesus as the God of grace. So windows illuminate and they permit the light to shine through so that nothing is hidden. And isn't it interesting in Malachi 3:10, and these are verses that are normally used to batter you guys over the head so that you give us all your money in churches. Open the windows of heaven, it says, for you, this is what the Lord will do. I will open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I'm going to show you how Jesus fulfilled Malachi 3:10 in just a minute. So many blessings in your life in 2021 that you would not be able to receive them all. In other words, He pours out His unmerited favor, His undeserved favor, His grace from the windows of heaven for you today. You have an open heaven for you right now. Every bit of God's goodness and love and completeness and wholeness and healing and protection and deliverance is yours today. It is an open window to what heaven is like. You don't need to wait, right? That's what He's saying. And five times the Lord says this. Let me move on to that so we can see that. But it is about that open heaven right now. It's all that in heaven this morning is yours. And as you sit here, you've got to make a choice to go, I'll either keep my eyes down on what I can see, I'll either keep my eyes on myself, I'll either keep my eyes on what everyone else is doing, or I this morning, your choice, lift your head up to the Lord and say, but if I look at you, all I see is an open heaven. I don't see anything standing between the blessing, the favor, the protection, and the health that is mine because of your finished work, Lord. But it all depends on what I will see. So let me talk to people today who feel like even in hearing that, I can't go there because I don't have enough faith to believe for that, Andrew. Well, it's interesting that Jesus is the only one who uses this phrase, and He uses it five times. Now, each time that Jesus uses this phrase, it's associated with a particular aspect of His grace, His love, His care, and His concern towards you. And listen to me, it's never a rebuke. Isn't that amazing? Never a rebuke. I hope you're enjoying this. Can I just kind of step off a minute and go, are you enjoying yourself this morning? I mean, I know the guys back here, I think half of them have got saved, just as I'm preaching, It's like, yeah, the hands are in the air back there, and they're getting saved. But I hope you guys are enjoying this at home. If you are, let us know in the chat, will you? And just say, Andrew, I'm feeling blessed. I'm receiving this word. My choice today is to say, yes, Lord, my eyes are up. Because when my eyes are up, I'm not just like ignoring what's going on, but you're starting to birth in me, using that imagination to believe of and what grace can do. Because He's never rebuking you. Heaven's open for you today. 2021, you're not the same as the world. You've got a different spirit, the spirit of grace. So let me show you how the Lord's not rebuking you today. The word little faith here is actually a word, it's oligopistos, all right? And if you're interested, you can go and look it up. But it's made up of two words, which oligos, which means little in number or quantity, low in quantity, and pistis, which is faith. And it occurs only five times, like I've said, right? And every time it happens, it's actually Jesus encouraging people who were failing to hear His voice, right? So little faith describes actually someone, when you go into the study of this word, who's dull to hear the Lord's voice, or they can be completely disinterested in walking intimately with Him. So what the Lord's going to show you for every area of your life is don't be dull to what the Lord wants to do in you and through you. He says to you this morning, what do you see? Don't be dull to it. Don't let the enemy come and rob you of that belief in the unmerited favor of Jesus in your life. Because it's not about you, it's always about Him. But what do you see? Do you see 2021 as just head down, keep going and get through? Or do you see increasing rest and favor in your life? Do you believe that you're going to walk in divine health every day of 2021? I do, so I'm saying yes, Lord, amen. But what do you perceive? Well, the Lord helps us here five times. Let me show you very quickly in each of the five times that little faith is used, where it's not a rebuke, it's actually an encouragement to not be dull and to see on the inside what grace can do. In Matthew 6:30, it says that if God clothes the grass of the field, how much more will He clothe us? He shows us that we need not worry about being clothed and looked after. The basic necessities of life, the Lord promises that He has already provided for you. Isn't that incredible? So He says in that, you have little faith. It's like, don't be dull. See that I've already provided, already done. Okay, it's different to declaring in faith, Lord, will you? But seeing on the inside that my provision, your provision, is a done deal causes us to rest and say, thank you, Lord, I lift my eyes up. The second one is found in Matthew 8:26. And what does He do here? He rebukes the storm with one word, shalom. This is my preach for next week. And what He does is He shows us in Matthew 8:26 that we don't need to be afraid of anything. Even the storm that threatens to blow them over and to kill them and to drown them. He says in that moment of you little faith, He goes, look, don't be dull. Nothing is going to sink you. All right. His one word declaration of completeness and wholeness over your life in that moment shows you that you don't need to be afraid of anything. So bring your fear to the Lord today. Bring your anxiety to the Lord and say, Lord, I lift my eyes up to you, to that place where your presence is. And Father, I speak shalom. All right, I receive it today. That's the second one. The third one is found in Matthew 14:31. He pulls Peter up when he was sinking under the waves, right? And it shows us then that you can be assured that it's not just that He calms the storm, but if you already feel like you're in the middle of it, that He will save you and He will deliver you. There are people here today going, I've got real pressure, Andrew. I've got real stuff going on. It might be in your business, your family, your relationships. And the word of the Lord here is, don't be dull to see what I can do. Lift your head up and see an open heaven of grace for you today. And be assured that I will always save you. If your feet are going down and you're starting to sink, I am going to step in that moment and deliver you to safety. In Matthew 16:8, number 4, He feeds 5,000, over 5,000 people in fact. And so He's in that moment where He says, oh, you have little faith. He's saying, don't fear for lack. Somebody received that word today. When you fear for lack, it causes you, it distracts you from that one thing. We become like Mary and Martha in that moment, distracted, you know, by all of these things. Martha frustrated, you know, and the Lord has to say to her, but you're worrying about all of that stuff because you've forgotten this one thing, to sit at my feet and receive grace upon grace. Because His promise to you today is you're not going to lack. You might not see right now how the Lord's going to bring it to you, but His promise is, don't be dull. Don't be dull of hearing. Listen to what I'm saying to you. The Lord's speaking to you right now. Heaven is open. Everything that is in heaven is open there. You can see it and be illuminated to the goodness of God, the favor of God, and you will not lack. Somebody give me an amen. Finally, Luke 12:28, he reiterates again the clothing and the grass of the field. Again, assuring us, okay? Deep assurance that we'll always be well clothed, always well looked after. Isn't that a brilliantly wonderful way to kind of rebuke and encourage us, I guess? Notice that Jesus never says, you have little learning, you have little holiness, you have little discipline, or even like, you have little fasting, which, don't even get me started on that one. The Bible tells us, honestly, that we receive everything we need from God by faith. By simply believing that heaven is open and receiving in that moment. And there's not one darn tootin' thing that you're going to add to the work of Jesus in 2021 which is going to bless you more. Can I just say that? But you've got to see that on the inside. If right now you're looking and what you see is you plus what the Lord can do, then you're going to be frustrated and you're going to be tired and it's going to be difficult. But instead, if you today just look up and see the Lord, you see the finished work of Jesus. And people will go, well, is grace enough? Like standing in front of the tomb of Lazarus. And they go, seriously, Lord, do you know that this guy's been dead for 4 years? Is grace really enough to remove the stone and to bring dead things to life? Heck yeah, amen it is. There's this one sense, right? The Bible, right? In this thing of faith says, you know, literally faith means to take. Okay? So in believing from the Lord, he paints this picture of an open heaven for you, says it's all provided by grace, and then he says, go take it. There's this sense in faith which means to take. So what Jesus is really saying to you today is not, oh, you're stupid, you're never going to make it, for goodness sake, they're way better, I'm going to bless them more than I bless you. He's actually saying, why do you trust me so little that you take so little from me? Take more from me, okay? If you're hungry, eat. Take more. Take as much as you want of my goodness and my love and my provision. Like, isn't that a wonderful way of telling them that they're not taking enough? Right? I think it's amazing. Don't forget, these men saw the most amazing signs and miracles up close and personal with Jesus for years. You know, Jesus performed so many. In fact, that according to my favorite gospel, the Gospel of John, it says that if they were all written down, the world itself could not contain the books that it would take to contain them. So he wasn't angry. Jesus wasn't angry with his disciples, and he's not angry with you today. Far from it. He loved those men. He loves you. I think, you know, he more than likely had a twinkle in his eye, amazed at their reluctance to believe and see open heaven for them, and their reluctance to believe in him. You know, remind yourself, the only person that Jesus had harsher words for was the Pharisees. Okay, those people who didn't need grace. Those people who said, well, I don't need you because I'm good enough. That's the only time Jesus ever gets harsh. Okay, and he uses these words, not because out of our kind of harshness, but this pure, pure love that he had. But he never was like that with his disciples or the average Israelite. And he's not like that with you and me. I don't believe that he spoke to them in a harsh way when we look at these stories, but gently, lovingly did it in a way to help them to understand, like we would do with our kids. You know what I mean? It's like, it's one of the things with our kids, which I love, and maybe I should I'm going to say this because I can just see you laughing, but you know, I should probably take a leaf out of their book, because like with salads as an example, I was laughing this week. We never have to tell our kids not to eat the salad. In fact, the girls fight over eating salad, all right? And it's amazing to me. I probably should be more like them, but you know, I sit there, sometimes we set stuff out for dinner, and you know, like the girls are all over it, and they're pawing through it, and they're fighting over tomatoes and all sorts. And it's not like there's not enough. Okay, but in their mind, they just want to take. And I love it. You know, I remember like we were laughing, Penny and I, a few weeks ago going, how crazy is it that we have to tell our kids to stop eating the salad? You just stop eating the salad. I'm going, how many parents would love to be able to say that? And we just laugh about it. But there's nothing in but you know, for me as a dad, I love it. I love it when my kids sit down at the table and they just feed themselves. And there's this expectation of, I'm going to eat that and there's going to be more. And I can take what I want. That's not a free-for-all, okay? It's not a bun fight, okay? We do parent our kids well. But it's the heart that they have just to sit there and to eat at dad's table. And they love it. And I kind of feel that's what the Lord is saying to you. Will you see that? Or is there something in you that goes, that's too good to be true? Let me just start to finish up here because we are running out of time. But I want to tell you, this is how you bless the Lord. Let me give you some examples of miracles that Jesus performed so that you can see the heart of this, the heart of the Lord for you today. Because he did the most incredible work. He came, stepped out of heaven. He went, lived here as a man, went to the cross, took every bit of shame and guilt and sin and mess in your life and in mine for every person forever, and hung on a cross, defeated it so that you can live with an open heaven. And so I think there's something that if the Lord went that far, he's not stingy and mingy and saying, well, just take a little bit. He loves you to come and to take. He went to the very extremes to provide the way for you. And like as a good, good father, he says to you this morning, do you see what I did for you? Can you see it on the inside? Will you lift your eyes up away from all the nonsense of today just to see my work for you, to receive those promises? And don't be dull. You know, don't let your hearing be dull. Your hearing is dulled when it's distracted by many other things, okay? I think that when Jesus is one voice amongst many, then that's when our hearing becomes dull, because there's lots of things speaking into us. But if you look, let me give you an example. Jesus feeds the 5,000. As it's documented in John, I think it's John 6:11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given them, he distributed them to the disciples, and to those disciples sitting down, and they, likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. He's the one who provides. Okay? And notice this. It was only when people had had their fill that the supply stopped. Okay? And still at that point, there was over 12 baskets. There's 12 baskets, it says, left over. So what I'm trying to say to you is when you start to see the Lord this way in 2021, okay, he wants you to, in faith, come and to take. All right? And if you think, oh, that's just very selfish, no, it's not. That's why he came. That's why he opened heaven for you. If you're sick today, take more healing. If you need provision today, just say, Lord, I'm going to take every bit of provision that you have. I'm going to dream big on the inside of me, not just getting through this year, but living blessed and abundance, not just for me, but so that I can use what you pour into me to bless others and to show them grace. We want to be blessed for purpose. We want to be blessed so that the world knows that the Spirit of the Lord is on this house, and where he is, there is freedom and life and completeness, and they get to walk in the blessing. And this is not about being selfish, folks. This is about being an example in 2021, that when you are under the grace of God, then your life is different. And you know what? That blesses the Lord. You know, I think just to finish off now, this principle is no more. It's beautifully portrayed in the story of John 4. At the woman at the well, 28 through 33. It says, the woman then left her water pot, went away into the city and said to the men, come and see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this man be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, listen to this, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat, which you don't know anything about. And his disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? After a long, tiring trip, you see, in the heat of the day, the disciples didn't get it. What was the food? What blessed him, fed him, and nourished him? It was ministering to the woman who was in need. Isn't that amazing? So, folks, I'm going to finish here. I hope you've been blessed today and encouraged. This is about 2021, and I'm asking you, what do you see this year? This time the Lord is saying, guard your heart. Look unto Jesus today and every day. Remember, we start Grace for Today tomorrow morning at 7:30, getting your eyes up onto Jesus. Look and you'll find life there. You'll find fullness there. You'll find wholeness washing over you. This is not about just being defensive, right? It's not about getting through and just getting through 2021. I believe in those moments where you see an open heaven and everything that that means. Everything that we long for in heaven is yours right now in Jesus' name. That's what the promise is. Eternal life starts today. And I believe as you do that, in those moments, the Lord is going to paint pictures in your mind and your imagination of what your world could be in 2021. So I'm speaking over you right now. Fresh vision, fresh hope, fresh perspective, lifting up your eyes to see grace upon grace in your life so that you don't have little faith. Okay, I'm just saying, have a new perspective, align with the Lord today and say, yes, Lord, amen, I believe.